All right, and now we can begin. We've got some more people who've logged in. So first of all, thank you for joining us this afternoon or this morning if you're on the West Coast. My name is Michelle Belorchi, and I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist here at the Institute of International Education based in Washington, D.C., and several other cities across the country. And again, as I mentioned today, we're focusing on opportunities and awards that highlight chances to research and teach abroad in business, economics, and entrepreneurship. And before we begin and go into the details about it, I just want to ensure that those of you that have recently graduated with a bachelor's or master's degree would be eligible for the Fulbright Student Program. The opportunities we'll be discussing today are for faculty and professionals with more than 5 years of experience to teach and research abroad. All right, so let's begin. First of all, a little background on the Fulbright program. We have about 160 partners worldwide and have been running this program for more than 70 years. And Fulbright offers the opportunity for passionate, accomplished faculty and administrators, artists, journalists, independent scholars, et cetera, to teach and research abroad and collaborate with people abroad. The mission is really to foster mutual understanding, advance knowledge across communities, and ultimately improve lives around the world. So for those of you that would like to take part in this program, that's something to keep in mind as you write your project statement and kind of think of ways that you can engage abroad. The program was established in 1946 by Congress. It is the U.S. government's flagship international educational and cultural exchange program. We've had over 380,000 participants in the program since its inception. It is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State with funding provided by the U.S. government as well as several of our partner governments abroad and administered by the Institute of International Education, IIE. This is the diversity and inclusion statement that State Department has, and it's really kind of key to the program. That we are representative of U.S. society when we send Americans abroad. And so we really try and include as many people from different backgrounds, from different geographic locations, institutional types, as well as ethnic background, et cetera. So this is just something that we like to ensure that this is not an elite program, but it's certainly a program of prestige for the American people. Okay, so in terms of baseline eligibility, this is U.S. citizenship is required, but after that, it really depends on the award that you're applying to. And what we have is a catalog of awards. There's over 460 award opportunities available, and each award is written with different requirements. It's produced by the country that is seeking that, that is offering that award. And so the vast majority do require a PhD or terminal degree, but there are some awards that only require a master's degree as long as you have significant professional experience or field experience. We also have several awards that are open to artists, to lawyers, independent scholars, journalists. So you need not necessarily be at a university or a professor to participate in the program. There are some teaching requirements. Again, it depends on the award. Some require 2 or 3 years, some require 5 full-time years of teaching at the university or college level, so be sure to check those requirements. And we also have a relatively new policy on previous Fulbright grants, so we ask that there's a 2-year waiting period before you apply for another grant, and there's more information online, and we ask that you also justify the need for another grant. So as I mentioned, there are over 460 unique award opportunities, and you can only apply for one grant, one award. So it's important to select the right one. And things to consider would include matching your experience and expertise to what the award is looking for. So consider any regional experience that you've had or any linguistic abilities that you have that might be a requirement in the award, the preferred list of disciplines or specializations that the award might have, especially if it's an all-disciplines award, And also really, and this is key, why is this project relevant to the host or the host country? How will they benefit from it? What will be the income, the impact or the outcome? And then, of course, we have different awards based on career level. So we have awards that are open to early career applicants and postdocs, as well as mid-level or senior scholars. So now we're just going to jump right in to the award offerings, and I've got them kind of regionally focused. These are by no means the complete list. These are just some highlights that I've kind of pulled from each region. So starting out with Sub-Saharan Africa, we have the award for Burkina Faso, and specifically looking for people in business administration. So there are two host universities listed in the award, and this is a teaching and research award. So it's up to the scholar, the applicant, to determine where he or she would be a good fit. And the great thing about this award is that a furnished house is provided by the host institution, so you don't have to worry about finding a place to live. This is a 9-month teaching and research grant, and the idea is that the scholar spends the academic year there teaching and researching. Next is Cameroon. It's a 10-month teaching or teaching and research grant, but really the focus is on teaching, and that's actually true for the entire region. They really are looking for American scholars, researchers, faculty to build capacity and serve as not only as instructors at the university there, but also guide students and discuss curriculum, kind of help with curriculum development, et cetera. So you have a real chance at having lasting and real impact in these countries in Sub-Saharan Africa. Côte d'Ivoire has an economics and finance award. It's an opportunity to teach undergraduate courses in economics and finance, and conduct research in your area of specialization. So this is another wonderful opportunity to have impact there. Rwanda has one that's focused on commerce, business administration, economics, and finance. This is a 6 to 10 month teaching grant or teaching and research opportunity, and there are 3 universities that are listed as potential host institutions. The specializations that they're looking for are listed in the award, and they include economics and applied economics, business administration, commerce, and business communication. So it's kind of a whole gamut. Zambia has an award to Copper Belt University, and Copper Belt is the second largest public university in Zambia. They also have an award to the University of Zambia that you can also check. This is a 10-month teaching and research award, and they're looking for scholars to teach accounting, small business management, energy economics, or financial economics, international finance, et cetera. So there's a whole range of courses that they're looking for an American scholar to teach, and all of the courses are held in English. And then last but not least, I put this here on the first slide, although it's available to other countries as well throughout the world. We have what's called the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship, and it's to Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, or Ukraine, and it's for early to mid-career professionals that have a master's degree and have some experience in economics or business administration or entrepreneurship, and that would work in a government industry or government organization, working side by side with officials and delegates in those countries. So that's a unique opportunity, and you can find more information in the award description. Okay, so moving on to East Asia and the Pacific. We have a couple awards to Australia. The first one is the Distinguished Chair in Entrepreneurship and Innovation at RMIT University. And this is open to, again, this is a chair award, a Distinguished Chair award. So this is open to senior academics who are at the level of associate or full professor by the time the grant starts, with a distinguished career in their field. And equivalent qualified candidates who are not in academia, but are in industry or government with a research background are also welcome to apply. So again, as long as you have a background in entrepreneurship and innovation, this would be a great award for you if you're further along in your career. And this is strictly a research grant. The other opportunity in Australia, again, there's several, but I only took two out to highlight. There are 14 awards to Australia. This is a new opportunity, brand new this year, called the Fulbright Future Scholarship. It's funded by the Kinghorn Foundation, and earlier it was only offered to Australian citizens, and now they've opened it up to American citizens as well to have kind of a collaborative approach. And this is a really unique opportunity that would provide funding for projects that seek to have a positive impact on the health, the prosperity, and the livelihoods of Americans and Australians. And the scholarship is looking to support projects. Again, they don't necessarily need to be specifically research projects. You'll notice in the award description, they're listed as professional projects as the grant activity, but they're really looking to advance cutting-edge applied science and also kickstart innovative business collaborations that foster or create new jobs and further the development of impact-driven emergent technologies. So this is an exciting opportunity. There are up to 10 grants in this award, so something to check out on the in the award description as well as the Fulbright Australia Commission's website. And then moving on to China, we have the China Studies Postdoc Award, and this is a research grant for 3 to 10 months. Researchers are required to be affiliated with a local institution of higher education in mainland China during their grant, but they can also engage with research facilities in Hong Kong and Taiwan. So the host institution in mainland China does need to have the capacity and the official permission to host foreign scholars. This is a 3 to 5 month grant, or they could have the opportunity to be up to 10 months. So this is something that's great for those of you that have recently completed a PhD. Recently in our languages, up in the last 5 years, so postdocs are those that have completed their PhD in the last 5 years. And then we have a China-Taiwan opportunity called the Cross-Strait Studies Research Program, and this is exciting. It allows the scholar to be placed in China and Taiwan and to conduct research in the area of specialization on an issue concerning the relationship between mainland China and Taiwan. The project should be on contemporary topics, and the applicant needs to demonstrate the need for residency in both places. You can also conduct research in Hong Kong short-term as well, and projects that involve collaboration with host country colleagues and institutions that contribute to cross-strait cooperation are encouraged to apply. It is a 5 to 10 month research opportunity. And then Indonesia, it's an all-disciplines award, but they specifically list international economics as one of the preferred disciplines, and there are up to 8 teaching or research grants. So there's a lot going on in Indonesia. They're also the seat of the ASEAN Award at the ASEAN organization, which leads us to the next research program available, which is a multi-country research grant to study topics of relevance to the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, otherwise known as ASEAN. So the focus is to conduct collaborative research in an area of specialization that is a priority to ASEAN or to the U.S.-ASEAN relationship in 2 or 3 ASEAN member countries. So a great opportunity to really kind of get further into a topic by going to more than one place. All right, and then we've got a couple of slides for award opportunities in Europe and Eurasia. It's the largest region in terms of offerings, so you'll notice in the catalog there's a lot more than what I've just pulled here. But to start off, I just wanted to share a little bit here. The first one we have is the Fulbright Catherine and Craig Hall Distinguished Chair for Entrepreneurship at the Central Europe, Vienna University of Economic and Business. And this is a relatively new award to Austria. Again, it's a chair award, so geared towards senior scholars. And they're very interested specifically. You'll see a range of fields and specializations they're interested in, but one of them specifically stands out as being unique in the catalog, and that is women's entrepreneurship. So that's one of many of the things that they're looking for. So that if you'd like more information, please check the award description. And then in Belarus, we have the Economics or Business Administration Award, and they're looking for a grantee to teach business admin courses to undergraduates or in the MBA program and consult on curriculum and faculty development. And the courses that they're looking specifically to have an American teach are marketing, finance, investments, and multinational corporations. There's also other specializations that are accepted, so it's important to discuss that with the host university and see where you would have the most impact. All right, and then we have the Fulbright-Hankin Distinguished Chair in Business and Economics, and this is a wonderful opportunity, again, more for senior scholars to research or to teach and research, and there are up to 4 grants available. So this is actually one of the larger offerings in terms of chair awards. Typically, you'll only see 1 or 2 chair awards available, rather grants, but there are up to 4 spots here. And the grant length varies from 2 up to 12 months, and the grantee would be placed at the Hankin School of Economics in Helsinki, and it's an internationally accredited university with over 100 years of history. And so it's a very, you know, it would be a great place to be doing research as well as teaching in the MBA program. So the Hankin Distinguished Chair Award in Business and Economics in Finland. Next we have the award to Georgia, and this is a teaching award to teach and assist with student mentoring and curriculum development. So more of a comprehensive approach to teaching. You can also conduct research in an area of your specialization, and the teaching and research ratio can be determined in conjunction with the host institution. Professional projects are also allowed, so that's also something nice that the Georgia Award has to offer. And then moving on to Germany, this is an all-disciplines award, but the German Commission is very interested in projects that relate to innovation and entrepreneurship management. So Germany also has an all-disciplines flex option, so you can check that as well. So the flex option allows you to conduct research over 2 segments. Okay, and then we've got the award to Hungary in economics and business administration. And they're looking for scholars to teach or research undergraduates or graduates and continuing education courses and also participate in curriculum and program design. So, and there's also opportunities for collaborative research in Hungary. The last one on the slide is the award to Ireland in entrepreneurship and business innovation. So you can see that entrepreneurship and business innovation seems to be a trending theme in Fulbright, and certainly it has been the focus. So a lot of these awards are really focused on entrepreneurship. Ireland is no different. This is a teaching and research grant, and the scholar will be mainly based at the School of Business at Letterkenny Institute of Technology. And the School of Business has a diverse mix of programs across 3 departments, and this would be at Business Studies. So the scholar would be teaching undergraduate or graduate courses, mainly in a lecture format. And they have a lot more details as to how those classes look, what size they are, and there's also some seminars and workshops that they're looking for the grantee to hold as well. Okay, and then moving on to our next slide of opportunities, we have the Fulbright Lectureship in Sustainability and Circular Economy at the University of Bologna. So the oldest university in the world. This is an opportunity to teach for 3 to 6 months. And if you go into the award description, you will find a very detailed description of the grant activity. So this is a lectureship position. So they are looking for very specific courses to be taught. and the grantee will be placed at the School of Economics. Kosovo has an All Disciplines Award, and they offer up to 5 grants for the scholar to be placed at the University of Pristina in the capital of Kosovo. And they do provide contact details and information about the different faculties and how to contact them for a letter of invitation and to gauge interest. And then we have the Fulbright Bucharest University of Economic Studies in Romania. And this is a 4-month grant, and they're looking for specific courses to be taught in terms of economics and international business relations, things like that. So the specializations are listed there as well. Russia has an award, the Distinguished Chair in Sustainable Development, and this is a teaching grant for 4 to 9 months at the Higher School of Economics at the Moscow Faculty of Law. So again, this is an opportunity for a senior scholar to teach for 4 to 9 months. The Slovak Republic has an award. They have 4 awards offered, one specifically for people in the field of economics, and this one is teaching or teaching and research for 3 to 5 months. And the specific host universities they'd like you to affiliate with are listed there. There's 4 of them, so you can contact them for more information. And then moving on to Spain, there's the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Award to the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid, and this is a teaching and research grant for 4 months to teach at the master's level, to teach innovation and entrepreneurship classes at the Polytechnic there. So another great opportunity. Again, you see the buzzwords innovation and entrepreneurship all over the place here. And then last but not least, we have a unique multi-country grant. This is new this year. It's called the Iceland-Greece Joint Award on Economic Crisis Management. And the purpose of the award is for the grantee to conduct comparative research based on his or her area of expertise and also look forward to the lessons learned, not only in these countries, but with reference to the wider international community in terms of future policymaking. So grantees, they're expected to disseminate their research in a meaningful way, so ideally through publications, at the conclusion of the grant. All right, switching gears, we're now going on to the Middle East and North Africa opportunities. We have an award to Algeria. This is a 10-month teaching grant, and they do provide a list of host institutions in the award description. Again, 10 months might seem like a long time, but really this is an opportunity for grantees to have a real impact in country, and so you'll notice a lot of the awards in this region are 2-semester grants because they really want the scholar there to be in the classroom, interacting with the students, serving on faculty committees, advising on curriculum development, guiding students. So this is really an opportunity to make an impact in the region. Bahrain has a business and economics grant. It's again 10 months. But you can do teaching or research or both. They do also list 4 potential host institutions, and specifically they're interested in public-private partnerships, NGOs, investments, and free trade agreements. So if you have that background and would like to make an impact in Bahrain, please do look at the award. We have the Business Administration Award to Egypt. And the scholar will be placed at Cairo University. It's a teaching grant. There's 12-hour weekly teaching commitment, or if there's a teaching and research combination, the teaching commitment is 6 hours weekly. So all of those details are listed there. It is a 4 to 9 month grant, and they are very interested in entrepreneurship and strategic management, social media marketing, things like that. Jordan has an All Disciplines Award, but they do mention that business administration is a preferred discipline. There are up to 10 grants to teach or research for 5 or 10 months. So again, a full semester or 2 full semesters. And then Oman has an All Disciplines Award for 5 to 10 months, and they also list potential host universities in the award description. It's a small country. It borders the United Arab Emirates. It's a beautiful place to be, and it's very different from its neighbor, the UAE. You won't see many tall skyscrapers like you see in Dubai. So if you're looking for kind of a different experience in the Gulf, you might want to explore the opportunity in Oman. And then the last award that we have is the All Disciplines Award to the West Bank, Palestinian Territories. And this, there's up to 5 grants to teach, research, or do both. It is a 5 to 10 month grant, and they are they do list the potential host locations, so you can reach out to them for a letter of invitation. And they are looking for applicants with a background in business administration and economics. So another great opportunity to be in that region. All right, and then moving on to South and Central Asia. So far we've covered a lot of territory. Do we want to take a minute for questions? Let's see if we have any questions that have come in. We're about at the 2:30 mark. So I just wanted to stop here for a moment and see if we had any questions. Okay, looks like we just got one so far, so I'll hold off until we get to that. We'll get to that in a couple slides. So the opportunities in South and Central Asia, we have the Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence Award to India. This is a unique opportunity because there are so many awards available, and really it's up to the applicant to determine what they'd like to do. It's very open. A letter of invitation is not required. And in terms of business and entrepreneurship, India has witnessed a huge growth in entrepreneurship over the past decade, and they've really received a lot of encouragement through government initiatives. So there's a lot of potential for U.S. grantees to teach and collaborate with researchers in India, which is, of course, gaining a larger foothold in the global economy. So India would be an interesting place to connect with researchers and entrepreneurs. And a variety of host institutions are available, so not just universities, but NGOs and research centers, think tanks, et cetera. Kazakhstan has an All Disciplines Award, and there are up to 5 grants. And Kazakhstan has really been making some inroads in bringing more English native speakers to the country. They have a goal to add English, you know, make English one of the three national languages, so after Kazakh and Russian. And so bringing in American scholars to teach the course material, to do research and collaborate is a huge focus for Kazakhstan, so it would be a wonderful place to make some inroads and impact over there. Nepal has the All Disciplines Teaching and Research Award. There are 4 particular hosts listed, so take a look at where your specialty would fit, but typically you'd be either at the at Tribhuvan University or Kathmandu University. And the teaching load is 80% and the research is 20. So the breakdown is a 80 to 20 teaching research ratio, but it is open to all disciplines and they are looking for business and economics. And then last but not least, we have the award to Uzbekistan. There are about 3 grants available there to teach or research or do both. And Uzbekistan is a wonderful place to be in Central Asia. So I encourage you, if you haven't thought about, you know, if you don't have a particular place in mind, you might want to consider some of the awards to South and Central Asia, places where there haven't been a steady flow of Fulbrighters to the institutions there and where you can really make impact. Okay, and then our last world region before we dive into the application components and how to submit a competitive application. So we have the award to Brazil. It's a distinguished chair in international relations at the University of Sao Paulo. It's a 4-month grant, and what's unique about this award is that the flex option is available. Again, this is only open to senior scholars to teach and research, and so you can get some more information in the award description. And all of this, you know, this PowerPoint and the webinar will be archived and put on our website. So if you'd like to go through this later, and all of these awards are hyperlinked, so you can click right on it and it'll take you to the award. We have the research chairs in business and economics in Canada, and these are 4-month grants to research or teach and research. They list three particular host institutions, so Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, the University of Alberta in Edmonton, and the University of Ottawa. Please note, for this award, a letter of invitation should not be sought. Then we have the Social Sciences and Humanities Award to Mexico, and there's up to 6 grants available to teach or research, or do a combination of both, in economics or related fields. So that's a great opportunity in Mexico. And then something also unique is the Mexico-Canada Award, known as the Fulbright-Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies. So any topic really in the fields of business, economics, and entrepreneurship that relate to North America, specifically Mexico and Canada, and the relationship they have, this would be a great opportunity to spend time in both countries to do research. We also have the award to Suriname. This is an all-disciplines award. Economics is listed as a preferred discipline, and the U.S. Embassy there is looking for projects that build capacity. For those of you that don't know much about Suriname, a fun fact is that it is the only country outside of Europe where Dutch is spoken by a majority of the population. So for almost 300 years, it was a Dutch colony. It's on the northeast Atlantic coast and shares a border with Brazil. Going to Suriname, you'd have a large, you'd have a pretty significant impact there because, again, it's a small country that just has this one award. So think about where you could be placed. They have some universities listed there, and you can contact us for more information. All right, we have the award to Trinidad and Tobago. It's a multiple disciplines award for the scholar to be placed at the College of Science, Technology, and Applied Arts at Trinidad and Tobago in Port of Spain. It's primarily to teach entrepreneurship undergraduate students and mentor faculty in small and medium family enterprises, but there is a small research component allowed to this award. And then last but not least, we have the award to Uruguay. They mentioned business, economics, and entrepreneurship as all preferred fields. It is a 3 to 4 month grant with the flex option available for research. Possible host institutions are listed in the award description. And Uruguay has a very supportive Fulbright Commission in the beautiful capital of Montevideo, which is where the main host institutions are located. So those are the opportunities that I've highlighted for the Western Hemisphere. And for the other regions, again, by no means are these comprehensive. There are over 200 awards available in business, economics, and entrepreneurship, but I've tried to kind of pull some highlights and share a range of opportunities from the postdoc level to the distinguished chair level. So we can go on to the next slide and see what the application components are, and then we can take some questions. So in terms of what you need to apply, these are the things that are listed, the application, the project statement, et cetera. It's important to note that all of these have page limits. So depending on the award, if you're doing teaching, you'll need to submit syllabi. If you're doing research, you'll need to submit a 3-page bibliography. If a language report is required, you'll need to upload that. If a letter of invitation is required, you'll need to upload that, et cetera. So let's go on to the next slide and see how we can submit a competitive application. So the key here at the core of your application is the project statement. So in keeping this in mind, you've only got 3 to 5 pages to put your project statement together. So think about laying out as many project specifics as possible, and also to address why Fulbright and why this particular country institution. It would be important to focus on what you plan to do, how you plan to do it, what the timeline would be, what are your teaching methods and the goals of your research, what would be the proposed outcomes or the impact on the host and for you, and also to address your adaptability in dealing with challenging situations. Again, you're applying to a country that's different from where you, with all the things that you're familiar with, there might be different ways of doing research and interacting with colleagues and students, and so it's important to be able to have kind of a plan B and also a little bit of flexibility in all that you do. So in terms of the components of submitting a competitive application, one of the key things also is a letter of invitation. So as I mentioned, some awards do just prefer it or they make it optional, but about half of the awards in the catalog will require a letter of invitation. So if a host institution is identified, it'll be found in the location section in the catalog in the award description. If a host institution is not identified, there's a few ways to go about tracking one down. So the first thing is you can take a look at the Fulbright Scholar directory, and you can see where past grantees to that country have gone. If you don't find anybody in your particular field or if it's not very helpful, you can take a look at the award description and see if any potential hosts are listed, if there's a Fulbright Commission link that's listed that you can contact the Commission or the U.S. Embassy. And if not, then there, of course, is our contact information, the program staff at IIE, so we can assist with that as well. Keep in mind that the letter of invitation is non-binding, and it should come from somebody that you hope to collaborate with and should be on the official letterhead. It should contain as much detail as possible and really match what you're proposing in the project statement. So if you're proposing to teach and research and they only think that you're teaching and, you know, you say that you're going to teach one class, but the invitation says you're teaching two classes, you can imagine this would be a bit of a problem. So making sure that what you have in your project proposal matches the letter of invitation and that there's also that, you know, enthusiasm of hosting you and that they mention how you're going to have impact and why your project's important. All of that is very helpful for the reviewers to make a determination as to the relevance of your project. Okay, so these are some points that we've highlighted to submit a competitive application. As I mentioned before, it's very important to discuss why you are interested in Fulbright and furthering the goal of promoting mutual understanding. This is a public diplomacy program, so every Fulbrighter serves as a, you know, cultural ambassador of the U.S. So speaking to how you hope to engage with colleagues and collaborators, and also beyond your host institution. So oftentimes, if you're there for quite a long time, you might experience various U.S. holidays there, and the commissions might invite you to celebrate, whether it's a Thanksgiving or a holiday or anything like that to promote U.S. cultural ties. And so the commissions or the embassies might ask you to be part of you giving lectures or talks at different universities and really kind of give you exposure as a Fulbrighter. So having an interest in that is very important. Also thinking as to how your expertise and skills make you the best person for that particular award and for that particular project. Speaking to the benefits of the host institution and for your home institution or what you do back here, you know, that speaking to that exchange of knowledge. And last but not least, really focusing on the outcomes and the impact. We always speak about the multiplier effect in the Fulbright program, and so it's very important to speak about how you and your campus or your organization will benefit from the Fulbright and speak, you know, speak to the future in terms of collaborations or linkages or, you know, internationalizing your campus or curriculum. So it's very important to speak beyond the grant parameters and the timeline. All right. So in terms of the process and timeline, the deadline this year for awards in the academic year of 2020 and 2021 is September 16. So again, you're applying this September for awards that would start in the early fall, late summer, early fall to the spring semester of 2021. The U.S. peer review is convened in October and November. And then November to January, applications are then recommended and sent to the host countries and also sent to the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. And notifications can come out as early as January and as late as April. And then after that, there are pre-departure orientations and a lot of paperwork that takes place before grants can begin. So in the next slide, I have just a few projects that I wanted to highlight in terms of what has been done in the past, and you can see it's a range of things. And in the meantime, we can open it up for questions. I think we've got some questions that have come in, so we have about 15 minutes to take those. So let's see. So how much assistance can we expect from the host contact person listed in the award requirement? I'm not sure in terms of assistance what you mean by that. The contact that's designated in the award description typically either A, furnishes the letter of invitation, or B, connects you to the person who would be the best, colleague to furnish that for you. So they serve as the point of contact for that award, because in those cases it is a partnership award, and so the grantee must be placed at that university. Beyond the letter of invitation, things change as you go along further in the process. Next question. Can you please go over the policies for submitting an application? I'm on the Fulbright Specialist roster. Okay, great. So this is a question about being able to apply to the scholar program while being on the specialist roster, and that's absolutely fine. You're welcome to apply as long as, and you can receive grants from both programs, from the specialist and the scholar program. As long as the grant dates don't overlap, you're welcome to participate in both. All right, next question. Are there best practices that can be shared for making contact with a host institution? Okay, best practices. Well, I would say, if you write to them and you don't get a response, be sure to loop us in, so whichever program staff is in charge of that award. But I would, in your initial email, I would send your CV and an abstract summary, or even the full proposal if you have it, so that they have an idea of what you hope to do, and then they can make a decision as to whether they would furnish the letter of invitation for you. So if you're reaching out to more than one host, if it's open to more than one host in the sense that, you know, you want to gauge interest and then decide which institution you're going to go with, the best way is to start with submitting your CV and your abstract summary to them. All right, so next question. Besides matching your experience carefully to the award for picking out the single award you're allowed to apply for, are there other tips, especially for those opportunities that are only offering a single award? So I think this speaks to, okay, the question is really about being competitive. So, yes, we get this question a lot. So where can you be the most competitive, especially if there's only one grant available in that award? So it's really important to see if the host institution is interested in you. So, again, gauging interest. If the letter of invitation is kind of just a very short, basic, kind of perfunctory invitation, that might not be a good host for you. You might want to try other hosts or even other countries that are really excited and happy to have you there and can see you making an impact and having further collaboration. So it's important to ensure that what you're doing on a grant is maximizing outcomes, maximizing impact. So those are some things really to consider. So the host institution, if you're allowed to seek them out, and 99% of the awards allow you to contact a host institution, that is going to be a very helpful way to determine if you would be competitive. Okay, so if you apply for a flex grant, flex option, can you choose the month, or is it up to the host university? In general, you can choose the timeline, but you would need the host to approve that. So there's also very specific flex parameters listed in the award, so you can only go at certain times sometimes if the university has specifics about when and for how long you can go during flex. All of that would be listed in the parameters, and you need to mention all of that in your project statement. If a letter of invitation is optional, does that mean we work all details of a project with the institution but only not be required to submit a formal invitation? I mean, it's up to you. If a letter of invitation is optional, some people might not even make any contact. I think it's always helpful to do so. That way you have a little more insight as to how you can frame your project statement. if you're working with them anyway on the project, you might as well ask for an invitation letter. Depending on the country, I know India is, they accept email, kind of, you know, an email from the host institution. If you can't get a letter, you can upload the email transaction, the email trail as a PDF file, and that should be fine. But ideally, if you're already contacting them and devising a plan to teach or research, et cetera, you might as well ask for a letter of invitation. It'll add to your, to the competitiveness of your application. We have a question about age limits. There are no age limits to the Fulbright Scholar Program, but if you are selected for a grant, you must pass a basic medical examination. Next question, can you speak more about the dissemination of results culminating from Fulbright research, specifically in the financial and economic arena? So really, I mean, it's up to you and the host. Certainly in the project statement, it's only aspirational things that you can speak about. Once you're on the ground, things might change. In the same way, you might not have predicted that you might publish something, but at the end of your project, you came out with a publication that was not anticipated. So it's very important to ensure that you're setting yourself up for success and that the project will have some real outcomes and impact. Okay. All right, well, it looks like we've got about 10 minutes left, and we've gotten to all of the questions. If you have any other questions that that you think of later, please do contact us. I've got the contact information here. Oh, goodness, it looks like it didn't turn out. We'll fix that. Scholars@IIE.org in general, but otherwise, if we go back to a country, a regional slide, you'll see at the top of each regional slide, right up here, you'll see on the top right corner, you can contact us at SouthCentralAsia@IIE.org, for example, for the awards to South Central Asia. We've got a few more questions that have come in. Can you apply to a country that has not been mentioned in this webinar? Well, certainly if it's available in our catalog of awards. So there are a few countries that are not listed in our catalog of awards. Switzerland, for example, does not participate in the Fulbright Scholar Program. Lebanon does not participate. Bangladesh does not participate. So all of the countries are not represented, but there are 138 countries in the U.S. Scholar Award catalog. All right. So there was a question about the specialist program. IIE does not administer the specialist program, so I would encourage you to contact program staff at World Learning, and they can give you more information about the specialist program. Let's see. Okay, we've got a couple more questions. Okay, so can you show us how to do a discipline search? Yeah, so we've got some time. Why don't we open up the catalog of awards, and I can show you how all of that's done. So we're going to go to CIES.org, and if you scroll down past the picture, you'll see Browse the Catalog of Awards. And we're going to click there, and now we're just going to select a discipline, so we can select Business Administration, for example, and click on Search All Awards. And you'll see there's 93 awards that specifically mentioned business administration as a discipline or a preferred discipline. So if we click here on this award, this is the Economics and Finance Award, you'll see it's for the Côte d'Ivoire. There's one award. The activity is mentioned. The grant length is mentioned. The dates, the location, the disciplines, and any specializations. You'll see the program staff on the right side. So Julia Gordon is in charge of this award. You'll see the deadline, and you'll also see the degree requirements. So it's open to, so PhD is required, but it's, in terms of the category, it's open to all levels of scholars except early career. So they don't want anybody that's fresh out of their PhD, for example. If we click on the awards requirement tab, we can see that a letter of invitation is strongly preferred and that proficiency in French is preferable. We can go down and see further information that is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia, and that they are looking for 3 or more years of college teaching. Okay, and then there's links to the host institution's website. If we go back up, we can see the benefits in the award benefits tab. This is the monthly stipend. So you'll notice with Fulbright, you don't apply for a research fund or a research grant. You apply to an award, and what you get is a stipend that allows you to live there to conduct your research or teaching. There's also a travel and relocation allowance for this award. There's a book and research allowance. There's also dependent tuition allowance if you bring your family and would like to have children enrolled in the school, the local school or the international school. So all of that information can be found in the benefits tab, and then there's a country overview where you can get more information about what they're looking for. So this is really how to navigate the awards catalog. If we go back to our question panel, let me see if we've gotten some more questions that came in. So looks like we've answered everything so far. Great. So if we can go back to the award description, and let's go back, scroll up, and we'll click on the application guidelines in the right corner. And this is a very helpful link because it brings you straight to the application first, and then also our instructions are available in a PDF. So we have our application instructions. And then you can click for that and download those. And then you'll also see that we have information on the project statement. We have sample project statements. We have information on how to tailor your CV, because you can only submit a 6-page or, for the chair awards, an 8-page CV. And then depending on what you propose to do, there's an outline of what we're looking for, what components are required. And if you click on those, you'll see exactly what we're looking for. So, for example, here, all of the information on the bibliography, et cetera. So the website has a plethora of information, so I encourage you to review all of this before you submit your application. And I also encourage you, if we go back to the Home tab at the top, I want to show you where to find the other webinars. We have virtual advising webinars. So if we click on the schedule, we can see that there are some virtual advising webinars coming up. So, for example, for the awards in Sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East and North Africa, we have the webinar next Wednesday on June 19th. So please do make use of all these great resources that we have. And if you have any questions, again, contact program staff listed in the award description. So looks like we've gotten to all the questions. So I want to thank you all for joining us today for the webinar on opportunities in business, economics, and entrepreneurship. I wish you all the best as you continue with your application. And again, keep in mind the deadline is September 16. Thank you. Bye-bye.